AM and 102.3 FM, KGYM.
3:02 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. So much to stuff into 1 hour today. We will take a look at last night's college basketball. We'll talk college basketball. It's our weekly segment, Off the Glass, with Kevin Lehman. Also on the program today, Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette stops by. Plenty to talk about. We know what is going to happen in Iowa high school football for the next year, not 2 years. We'll talk about that and discuss. And a whole lot more. Gym Class for a Thursday coming your way on KGYM. Welcome in at 3:03 on the Gym Class. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Zach Schmitz buttons on the other side of the glass here today. And you out there, most importantly, we welcome you in 1600 AM along with 102.3 in Cedar Rapids. The brand new Gym OT 107.5 FM. Please check out the Gym OT at our website, kgymradio.com. And, of course, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. And, oh, Purdue just hit another three. Welcome in, Mark. How you doing?
Doing well. Kind of a newsy day with what happened last night on the court and what happened in Boone in the release of what we know now to be the 2020 high school football assignments, structure, what have you.
Yes.
Yeah.
We will break that down coming up in just a little bit because there's plenty to talk about. A few changes, but maybe not as many changes as we thought there would be with the state of high school football coming up. And the biggest change of all, it's only going to be a one-year cycle. Not sure if this is going to be the cycles can't be 1 year, can they?
No.
I was surprised you just didn't jump on me about that.
Annuals can't be first either.
Yeah, there are no first annuals, and there are no cycles that last 1 year. Yeah. It is a one-year what? Just a one-year deal.
Structure.
Thank you. One-year structure. Maybe that's the way it's going to be from now on. We'll talk about that in detail here in just a little bit. Also, Jeff Johnson will join us to talk about the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders as well as some high school boys basketball. And he was also down in Iowa City today for Iowa Baseball Media Day. Does that make it feel a little warmer? The sun is out.
Always
when you start talking a little bit about baseball. So we'll talk about that with Jeff Johnson from the Gazette coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Let's start with last night's college basketball, and we'll get a couple minutes of talk about Iowa-Purdue because that's about all it was a couple of minutes, and that game was over as Purdue blitzed the Iowa Hawkeyes last night. Boilermakers with 19 threes. They shot 65% in the first half, 55% from three, set a school record for three-pointers last night in, I believe, Purdue's third straight big-time win over Iowa in West Lafayette.
Terrific performance by Purdue. 34-point win, the first time Iowa has been blown out on the road, and it was blown out. Purdue was making shots, falling out of bounds, hands and face like Rick
banking
Mount.
Banking them.
Rick Mount back in the day, banking him in. It was just one of those nights. But be reminded, Purdue did this against defending national champion Virginia.
Did it against Michigan State.
Did it against Michigan State. 29-point victories in both of those. I prefer to look at it as one night, one game. And the people that think the sky is falling all of a sudden
it's not falling on Iowa basketball
are the same people that when Iowa lost to DePaul in November,
saying it's going to be
a long winter. Oh, it's going to be a long winter.
It's a situation where Purdue needed that desperately, and Iowa, they had a bad game. And to be honest with you, Purdue could have beaten Baylor last night. They could have beaten Gonzaga last night the way they shot.
Damn near anybody.
It was just one of those things. And we'll talk with Kevin Lehman. He's been on the sidelines before. We'll ask him, how do you react?
I will say it was not very good defense. That's an understatement on Iowa's part. It seemed to be a step slow, couldn't close out on the threes, any three-point shooter. Ryan Kreener, I think, said as much. Just when you thought Iowa was playing pretty good defense, that you have a night like that. And then Purdue, I thought, played largely really good defense because Wieskamp and Frederick couldn't get open very often. So I think you have to credit
Purdue's
defense. And you could tell as early 17-0 run, this is going to be a long night.
Iowa scored first. And then Purdue went 17 on the Hawkeyes, and it was pretty much over. Iowa got it down to 11 with about 12 minutes remaining in the first half, and then Purdue went on another run, and we got to concentrate on bowling the rest of the evening. More on that coming up later on. Yes, 67-39 on the First Federal Credit Union text line. You and I won again, 20-3. For the Panthers as they get ready for Drake coming up on Saturday. Drake a winner last night as well at home. They knocked off Bradley, but the Panthers are 20-3 on the season and remain on top of the Missouri Valley Conference.
Very good road win. And as far as Iowa goes, is this cause for concern? 319-366-1600, or would you mark it up, as I said, one night, one game? Iowa, next time out, we'll face Nebraska and trying to get revenge from that not a very good road loss in Lincoln.
Probably the worst loss that Iowa had this year was that loss over in Lincoln, Nebraska, as the Cornhuskers beat them on that particular day. First win for Nebraska as well in the Big Ten. 27, go ahead.
27-52 on the text line. There's a reason Purdue set a three-point record. Iowa cannot defend the three. Never have they have been able to under Fran McCaffrey.
That's wrong. Yeah. That's wrong.
Appreciate the opinion, but I think it's wrong as well.
27-52, yes. Appreciate the opinion. It's one game. Iowa did not defend well last night. I'm with you.
And even when it did, Purdue would throw it in.
They made the basket when Iowa defended them well last night. And I'm with you. It was one of those nights, and you forget it as quickly as possible, and you move on. Is it going to kill Iowa? No. Not as far as the net, not as far as everything goes. Now, will a loss to Nebraska Saturday kill Iowa? Oh, yeah. That's going to be a big one if Iowa lays an egg on Saturday afternoon at home against Fred Hoiberg in Nebraska. 319-366-1600. Iowa's been playing very good defense during basically the entire Big Ten season so far. It was just one of those things. I really believe that. 79-66. So is this a sign of things to come? Are the legs starting to go from the starters and the no-bench scoring really starting to hurt? That remains to be seen, I guess. 13:45. The sky is falling. I love it. Let's go to Eugene to bring him in on line one from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Eugene.
Voice of reason, Eugene.
How's it going, folks?
Yeah, it's fine. Good.
Hey, I think what makes Iowa fans a little bit queasy when you see a game like this is Fran's teams have never finished well, you know, and you're at that point of the year, you're 8-9 games left. We've kind of seen this before. If they can get to Nebraska and right the ship, I think it'll calm a lot of people's nerves. But it's people reaction based on a track record. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks, Eugene. Appreciate the call.
Track record is there.
It is. You can't deny that.
Iowa 10-10 in the league last year, right?
Yes.
Headed for maybe that or more, perhaps less. I don't know. 17-75 on the text line. One night, one game. Purdue was just on fire. We're fine.
I think that's the way you got to attack it if you're a Hawkeye fan out there. Iowa State also going down in a big way last night at Morgantown against West Virginia as the Mountaineers get the victory. Iowa State coming home for the weekend.
87-21 on the text line. Iowa didn't shoot well. Purdue hit everything. I think Iowa will be just fine. little concerned about Garza's free throw shooting, though. Been off a little bit.
Garza gets mad at himself, too, for that. He is his own worst enemy and worst critic as far as free throw shooting is concerned. It's kind of a mixed bag today on the sky is falling and everything is going to be okay.
Every school, every team has its nemesis. For my Twins, it's the Yankees. Can't beat the Yankees, whether it's in the regular season
A's.
Or the playoffs. Yeah, the White Sox have the
Oakland A's.
Iowa, I think, has lost 10 of its last 11 against Purdue. And previous to this, it was losses by 20 and 16. It just has not been a friendly place for the Iowa basketball team.
Now, 79-66, one rebound from Garza cannot happen. Yes, you're right.
There weren't many rebounds to be had.
Yeah, well, that's true. There weren't many rebounds to get.
And the ones that were collected were by Purdue on the offensive end. Purdue, I think, had half a dozen in the first 5 minutes.
Purdue just absolutely came out cranked up for that basketball game last night. Just absolutely were not going to be denied in that basketball game. They were diving all over the floor and getting to all of the 50-50 balls. And credit the Boilers. Credit the Boilers. They came out and they took it to the Hawkeyes last night. And I don't think there's much more to be said than that. I think Purdue could have beaten most anybody in the country last night. I really think that is the case. 319-366-1600. 88-12 was some of this side effects from the hard-fought Illinois game. Yeah, perhaps. I just think Purdue needed this game, and they knew they needed this game.
Purdue missed 24 shots and had 10 offensive rebounds. So that leaves, what, 14 on that end of the floor? It's not many.
Not many. We'll talk more basketball with Kevin Lehman coming up in just a little bit. Wanted to get to this before we talk to Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Mentioned that the Iowa High School Athletic Association today, about 2 weeks late, 2 weeks later than the usual statement release, came out with the football information for 2020. It will not be a two-year cycle. It will be a one-year structure. Not sure if this is the way it's going to be from here on, or at least until anyway, it's going to be this way for a while. 9 games will remain. 16 playoff teams will remain. Basically, everything stays the same as far as classes 3A, 2A, 1A, A, and 8-player is concerned. 8-player continues to grow. I think that's going to have to be taken care of sometime in the near future, in the next 5 years or so. Do you make 2 classes of 8-player football? That remains to be seen. The big change for this particular year was in class 4A, and that's where we knew it would be. Districts are no more in Class 4A. We don't have anything.
We have groups and tiers.
We have groups and tiers.
T-I-E-R-S.
They don't even really matter. You have 40 teams. Top 16 RPIs are going to make the 2020 4A playoffs. Best of luck to you out there. It's all based on success model structure, Mark.
I think it's a very creative concept for 4A, and we'll get to the other classes in a minute, but yeah, it's there's 7 groups. 5 of them have 6 teams, 2 of them have 5. And each team in 4A is in a certain tier based on its last 5 years RPI and playoff success.
Correct.
In other words, Dowling last 5 years has the number 1 RPI, and in playoff success, it is number 2. So it gets a 1.5.
I think you got that backwards, but it is a 1.5. Number 1 for playoff success, number 2 for RPI. They haven't lost a playoff game since, like, Eisenhower was president. So.
I stand corrected if that's the case. But at any rate, that's the way it works. And then each team will play either 2 or 3 games in the group. You don't play everybody in your group.
No.
And then you are assigned other games.
Based on that 5-year success model.
Exactly. For example, Linmar is in group six, is in tier three. It has to play Waukee, Johnston, Marshalltown, Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Iowa City Liberty.
And then you get four games of your own choosing.
Right.
And you can play rivals for gates. What they wanted to do in 4A was to get as many, get rid of the bottom feeders taking on the top of the mountain many weeks.
Yeah. As far as the tiers go, the six tiers, tier one is the teams ranked number one through seven in that five-year model that we talked about. Tier two is teams ranked 8 to 13. Tier three is 14 to 20. Tier four is 21 to 27. Tier five, teams ranked 28 to 34. And tier six is those ranked 35 to 40. And based on what tier you're in, that is that determines which tier or which teams in your group that you may play. Jefferson, for example, was 28th in that model. Just fell down into that tier five. But by doing so, avoids Waukee, which is the tier one team in its group. So,
I think it's okay. I think they did all right. The big question this time around, we'll talk with Jeff Johnson in a moment, was the 4As. The next time around, next year, it's going to be everyone else but 4A. Because many coaches out there, along with the Iowa Football Coaches Association, are not happy today. They didn't get the 32 teams. And they're trying to get that change for next year.
If you're a coach out there, an assistant, what have you, in 3A down to 8 player, why go 32 teams? Is it just to put another notch in your belt on your resume? To put an up another banner in your gym? That 32nd team is going to get waxed in the first round. The 16th team is going to get waxed more times than not. But why expand it to 32? I understand it would be a greater percentage of teams in those particular classes, but I don't see why the expansion. Hit us up, 319-366-1600.
We'll take a break, come back, and Jeff Johnson of the Gazette will join us, and we'll talk more about the football playoffs and other sporting things when we come back.
At CPQ Hoyt Jewelers, Valentine's Day is all about the bundle, baby. Now through Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th, we're bundling the love with our local romance bundle. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. With any purchase of just $99 or more, we're going to throw in a beautiful box of chocolates. Now, if you spend $2.99 or more, you'll get the box of chocolates and a $50 gift card to 30 Hop. Now, are you ready for this? Spend $9.99 or more, and you get the chocolates, great, the $50 30 Hop card, sweet, and a one-hour couples massage from Hands in Harmony. Woohoo! Now that's an awesome local romance bundle. And of course, in Siebke Hoyt fashion with approved credit, you'll get 0% financing for 12 months. It's the Valentine's Day local romance bundle, and it's only at Siebke Hoyt, now through Valentine's Day.
Your life requires a lot of energy because you're always on the move. Well, nobody understands energy better than Linn County REC. That's why they offer you the Smart Hub app. This cool tool makes it super snappy to pay your bill, see your billing and energy use, get alerts, even report an outage. So no matter where you are, you can manage your account in a tap or two. Get the Smart Hub app in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Download it, select Linn County REC as your electric provider, and log in with the same username and password you use at linncountyrec.com. Once it's on your phone, it keeps up with you. So, say you realize your bill needs to be paid ASAP. It's okay. Just tap Pay Now on the Linn County REC Smart Hub app, and you're good. Oh, and if the power goes out, you can report it right there on the app, too. See how easy that is? The Linn County REC Smart Hub app. Another one of the nifty little benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to remodel your home? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. The same goes for hardware. Are you looking for new cabinets? They can design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And they have lumber, of course, but also decorative shiplap and other trim as well. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
3:22, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman, talk more college basketball here in just a little bit. A couple more texts to get to. 0616, if this were football season, fans would be screaming, fire Kirk. All is good in Iowa basketball. Overreaction, Iowa fans. Also, Andy, some of Fran's teams have not defended the three well for entire seasons. This isn't one of them. And I would agree on that. There's a reason Iowa's won 16 basketball games. They're not outscoring people this year like they have done in the past.
Truth.
Very much so. Jeff Johnson joining us at 3:22. He's a man of many hats. He's very successful. I'd put you in group four, tier two, man. How's that?
Is that good or bad?
That's good, man. That's good.
You'd move up to tier one if you covered the caucuses.
I was told, gentlemen, there would be no math required with this new system. I guess I was lied to, huh?
Yes, you were. Yeah. Well, there are no standings for this system unless you just put the RPI. We won't know anything in 4A standings next year until, like, what, week five, right?
Exactly. So I guess they're trying something, and it's only going to be for 1 year, and everything will be reevaluated, and we'll go from there. So I guess my question now is, all right, they're doing this for 4A. I'm sure there's a lot of schools in the other classes that are going, what about us now if you're going to do this, you know, competition or this competitive balance model for 4A? You better do it for everybody else, right?
Yeah, a lot of aspects to this, Jeff, and one of them you touched on, this is a one-year deal for 4A, and I guess the other class as well, but what does happen in 2021? I don't think anybody knows.
No, heck no, Mark. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
And this is very much wait and see. We'll see how this particular iteration of the playoffs in 4A works. And but between then and now, I assume we'll have a whole lot of more meetings of the competition committee that's been put together that consists of I guess it's joint, both IHSAA and the girls union as well. So I commend them for trying something new, or for at least being open-minded, and I guess we'll see how this whole thing works out. And about this time next year, we'll look for probably something new.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's sort of thinking outside the box, the five-year model.
Yeah.
And whatnot, the group aspect to it. I guess when you and your colleagues first saw this roll out this morning, 4A in particular, was it a surprise or what you expected?
No, we'd gotten wind of the whole, there was going to be some sort of tier system. We didn't know exactly what that was going to be. At one point, I was told by someone that there could be 10 groups of four schools, and I don't know how that whole thing would have worked, but obviously that was not the way that the association decided to go. So, I mean, we knew it was going to be something tier-related. Didn't know exactly what, and I tell you what, I've read over this thing about a dozen times, and I think I got it. I think I understand it, but I'm going to have to reread it at least a couple more to understand it fully, I guess.
4A was certainly the thing, was first and foremost this year to get at least sorted out for 12 months or whatever the case may be. Next year at this time, it's going to be the 3As on down through the 8-man. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They'll reevaluate 4A like you talked about. But I know many of the coaches would like to see the playoffs go to 32. The Iowa High School Athletic Association said no to that this year, and I think that's going to be even more contentious next year.
Yeah, and that might just have been, just because they're trying something new with 4A that they wanted, you know, that they kind of want to see how it works. So maybe they just kind of thought, all right, well, we won't further complicate matters by going 32 teams in the playoffs for the other classes. Maybe, you know, will that be considered and will that be implemented next year? I don't know. Nobody knows at this point. I wouldn't be surprised, quite honestly, if it ended up that way, that 32 teams make it in the other classes, because I know that is what the overwhelming majority of the coaches want. And the two proposals the Iowa Football Coaches Association officially sent to the IHSAA both consisted of models that had 32 teams making the playoffs in the other classes. So, and I know the coaches aren't going to give up this fight. They want more, not less.
I definitely want you to weigh in more on that, Jeff. Here's my argument against expanding to 32 teams in the other classes. Number one, you're going to put the number of playoff teams versus how many are in that class over 50% of that class.
Yeah.
And you know, for what reason? Because those first round games will be trash. And secondly, those teams that don't make the playoffs, they only get 8 games, according to some proposals.
Yeah, yeah. And if you didn't make the playoffs, I guess you could maybe try and schedule a 9th. No, I agree with you. I think I've always thought all along that I'd be happy with 24, quite honestly. That would give, like, district champs a bye week to start the playoffs, which, you know, that's something that you would have to earn, and I think something that would be beneficial, you know, to rest. But I don't know that coaches necessarily want that bye week in there. They don't want 24. So I think I think it was Rod Earlywine who said, we know he's the Board of Control president, I think, this term for the IHSAA, said, we know nothing's perfect, but we want to try and, you know, get as close to perfect as we can. I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said.
Right.
So you keep tinkering until you find something that, you know, that works well and, you know, addresses, you know, the concerns over, you know, competition and programs and schools that, you know, being competitive, more schools being competitive, I guess.
Several texts on both sides of the issue coming in, Jeff. One from 1473, the 3A system is just right as it is. If you want to make the playoffs, win more games. And Joel and Muscatine is in favor of expanding the playoffs again. The season shouldn't end after week 3 for 60% of a class. Expand to 32. Football is the only sport that doesn't guarantee playoffs. This isn't about participation trophies. It's about keeping all 9 games relevant for 80% of the teams playing.
I think 32 is too many. I'm with you, Jeff, 24, but I know, talking with coaches, I haven't talked to one yet that says they want to buy.
No, that's exactly right, Scott. And, you know, I guess it messes up the routine and, you know, it gives you a better chance not to be sharp, you know, with that week off. But, you know, colleges do it, right? Every college has, 2 byes, at least in the Big Ten, right?
Right.
2 byes per season. So, I mean, if they can figure it out, why can't high schools figure it out?
I know folks that are proponents of having a bye week for everybody midway through the season just to get healthy.
I just, you know, they're trying. I give them credit for that. I really do. And, you know, they see the numbers or participants in football going down. I mean, that's a nationwide thing, obviously. And, you know, they're worried, especially, you know, I would say probably about some of these city public schools, the big cities, that where, you know, numbers just keep going down and down and down. And, you know, I commend them for trying to do something, maybe to try and, you know, keep more schools relevant in football and, you know, most importantly, probably more kids out involved in a worthwhile activity.
Is travel an issue, Jeff? Because I see I believe all the Metro teams have a Central Iowa team that it will play. Not that it will have to travel necessarily, but
Liberty has three.
Yeah. So I ask you in that regard, and maybe in the other classes, whether there's some travel imbalances.
I'm kind of glad they're taking that out of the equation, quite honestly. I don't, I think it's great that, school, and, schools have kind of, the last couple of years have scheduled, Eastern Iowa schools have scheduled like Central Iowa opponents in 4A and, vice versa. So, it's only 2 hours to Des Moines from Cedar Rapids. It's all four lane. So,
hey, they travel a lot more for club sports and other things like that.
Yeah, exactly. So why not Des Moines North and Cedar Rapids, Washington? I saw that was one of the games.
We can't wait for that Thursday nighter in October with the polar bears moving over.
Man, I tell you what, though, I looked at Kennedy. Did you see Kennedy's schedule, for instance?
Yes.
It is. Their assigned games are tough, man. They got, both Bettendorf and Cedar Falls, if I saw right?
Bettendorf, Pleasant Valley, Prairie, Cedar Falls, Davenport North, who had a very good year last year.
Yeah, and, then you got to try and figure out four more games for your school to play. And, it's all RPI related, so I guess the tougher schedule is probably going to, as long as you keep winning, is going to give you more RPI points and a better chance to get into the playoffs and a better seed.
And I think it's guaranteed Kennedy, Jeff, and Wash will all play one another as well. So.
They have a gentleman's agreement to play. So
there you go. And that's the way it should be, right?
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Those four games, you got to keep your rivalries to get some gates and go from there to help things out. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us here. We've been talking some football. Let's talk a little hoops. You and I both took in the games at Kennedy last Saturday. First time we saw the shot clock. And I think you and I are both hooked now, and I think other coaches are hooked.
Man, I've been kicking myself all week, Scott. I've always been so anti-shot clock. I think you probably were the same way or close to the same thinking as I was. But I watched those games, and I was like, you know what? This ain't half bad. This, 35 seconds to me is the right amount. 30, I would not like at all. 35, gives you an opportunity to – get into your set, offensive set and, work the ball around and try and get a good shot. It really didn't come into to play during the eight games. The first two, I guess, so that was the only two of the eight games where it really affected anything. And, that's where it's going to be most noticeable. It was late in games. Teams can't just, sit out front and try and stall and run clock, because they got to keep they got to keep shooting the ball every 35 seconds. So, and I guess that's not a bad thing.
I agree. And Iowa City West is on top of 4A right now. And if you can figure out Class 3A, let Jeff and I know, because it is a mess.
Yeah, have you seen West, Scott? Iowa City West.
Yes.
This is one of the least talented clubs that Coach Steve Bergman's probably had in the last decade plus. Only one Division I player on this team, I guess. So,
well, maybe. But there are going to be two more that we just don't know. Well, at least one more. We just don't know what sport.
Yeah. So, but they play well together. They work the ball around offensively, run clock, control tempo, and they get in your face and play great man-to-man defense. So, that's defense wins games, and that's why I think Iowa City West has been successful. And then you're right about 3A. I don't know how many. I'd have to count up, see how many number one teams we've had in that class this season. But nobody seems to want to keep it and that ranking. And I think that's going to make for a very exciting and postseason, no question about that, because there's no real juggernaut in that class, and there's a lot of different teams that are going to have a chance to not just make it to the state tournament but win the whole thing in 3A.
Jeff, yeah, the first opportunity to answer our Emil's Hideaway poll question. How do you view last night's Iowa game? Is it a blip on the radar, somewhat concerning, or a sign of things to come?
I'm not concerned, honestly. That's just my opinion. I think it was just a blip. Now, if the play continues and somehow you lose at home to Nebraska, then you can start panicking. But I don't know. I think it was just one of those games where the opponent wasn't going to miss and didn't miss. You obviously weren't very good. You were a step behind on defense the whole night, and you wonder how much of that, you know, the Illinois game and the emotion and physical wear and tear from that Illinois game kind of went into being a step slow for Iowa last night. So
true.
I just think it was a blip.
Before we let you go, Rough Riders, we're already into February, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Season goes quickly, doesn't it? And it's been a roller coaster so far.
Yeah, that's actually where I'm at right now, is at the ice arena waiting for them to get done practicing. So a lot of injuries, a lot of important injuries, and that's been tough. Two NHL draft picks, both injured and out for the year. But, I mean, that's just part of the game. They won three of the last four, had a chance to win the fourth, beat the best team in the league twice last weekend. So I'm sure they hope that things are on the up, and all you got to do is finish in sixth place or better in your division, and you get a chance to dance, as they say. So that's what this group is working toward.
Kenta Maeda, 18-game winner, right?
My trade goes down. I hear it's being held up a little bit because of physical for Bruce Dark Gratterall. The Red Sox found out that he's hurt, or he's been hurt.
So. What are you guys trying to do, huh?
Hey, the Giants screwed the Twins last year with that relief pitcher that was hurt. So
they sure did.
You're trying to get back at everybody.
I can't even remember what his name was. But, all's fair in love and war, right?
I guess so. And in Major League Baseball. All right, JJ,
that's
thanks.
Right.
And
thank you, guys.
More as far as boys basketball and football coming up, just read thegazette.com. Give them a follow on Twitter as well. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night. Take care.
All right. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us. We'll take a quick break, come back, and we'll talk some college basketball. Kevin Lehman, we'll ask the coach, was last night concerning or a blip on the radar? We'll do that when we come back.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com
salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
There's something out there for you and me. And the American road is calling. So what's it gonna be? Hey, it's an amazing day. Traveling on.
Fueling the American spirit.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
This is Sarah's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
Driving cross-country with two young children is ambitious, to say the least. Then our check engine light came on. We pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts and they tested it. Turned out it was a faulty sensor. They referred us to a great mechanic just down the street and we were back on the road in no time.
Oh, oh.
Growing up on a farm, the youngest of nine kids, Chris had to prove himself, and he did, in the fields and on the court. As a Regina and Simpson College basketball player, he got the nickname Shooter, and it stuck. People still call him Shooter, even now that he's a Coldwell Banker real estate professional. His work ethic, skill, resourcefulness, and 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction in the Iowa City area have made Chris Lehman the perfect realtor to buy or sell your home with. Get in touch at shootershomes.com.
Indeed, and our Off the Glass segment with Kevin Lehman brought to you by Coldwell Banker, Realtor Chris Lehman. I'll get it out. ShootersHomes.com is the website. We encourage you to check it out. There's more information. Just go to our website, KGYMRadio.com, and click on the off the glass portion of the website and give you all the information that you need. Thanks to Chris. Thanks to Kevin as well, who joins us now to talk some college hoops here at 3:42. And I'll ask you the poll question. Kevin, how do you view last night's Iowa game? Was it a blip on the radar, somewhat concerning, or a sign of things to come?
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott. I would put it in concerning, and here's why. In the Big Ten, the Hawks are 1-5 on the road. In those five losses, they've given up almost 91 points per game. That part concerns me. Can this team consistently win on the road? We know they can do it at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Can they take this on the road? And they've got a few opportunities left. Big games, Indiana, at Minnesota, at Michigan State, Illinois. So how many wins can they get out of those next four road games?
Did Illinois, that game on Sunday, take a lot out of Iowa going into the game on the road last night?
No, this was Wednesday night. They played Sunday at noon, if I remember, and we're dealing with young kids. And I can tell you right now, in practice, Luka Garza, Joe Wieskamp, C.J. Perry, they're doing very little contact this time of year. It's really physical duty. That is not an issue in my – I think it is in fans, because fans get so excited when you have a big win like they did against the Illini, and then you go into Mackey and – I don't like to talk to you guys about this last week, but you talk to Mark Gannon, any of those old-timers that played in the Big Ten, they always talk about how tough it is to play in Mackey Arena because of the way that building is constructed. It's a dome. You sit below the court. The fans are right on top. And it is one of the best. It doesn't get a lot of credit. It's one of the best home court atmospheres in college basketball.
You just call Mark Gannon old?
Yeah, he is old.
I want to ask you about the defensive end for both teams, Kevin. It really appeared that Iowa did not close out very well at all. And even when it did, Purdue was splashing in a three. And then on the other end, it seemed like Purdue really concentrated on not letting Wieskamp and Frederick get their shots. Your comments.
Well, Mark, I think that's a great observation, because Luka Garza is going to get his. And, you know, we saw Nebraska triple team him. So can those other guys on the road step up and produce points? And if this is a team that doesn't have a lot of margin of error, especially on the road, because you know you don't always shoot it as well on the road, Mark. So when you get 8 points out of Frederick and 8 points out of Wieskamp, a combined 16, where's the rest of the points going to come from? They haven't got a lot of bench points. They don't have a deep bench. They're not getting a lot of production out of Zachary Evelyn. Connor McCaffrey, you know, we know what he does. He's the glue guy for this team, but he's not going to be a double-figure scorer for you every night. So they got to get points out of Frederick and Wieskamp. I think that's where another concern, the margin of error for this team on the road is not very large. They've got to get scoring from those guys. If one or two are off, I don't think you're going to see what happened last night. I mean, that was Purdue's day. I was looking for Rick Mount to come out of somewhere in that game last night, the way they were shooting. 19 threes, guys.
School record.
That's unbelievable amount of threes.
School record last night.
Fran used to always say when a team gets a 10 or 11 threes, that is the danger zone for an upset. I mean, this was much more than an upset. This was a take-you-to-the-woodshed moment. But here's the thing you have to do right now. I learned this from Coach Miller, and even going back to John Labonia at Dowling High School, Coach Bobby Hansen, he said this time of year, everything's positive. Even when you get beat bad, the team is looking at you. How are you going to respond to it? So you are the you're the port in the storm as a coaching staff. And Elton used to pull in and say, hey, I don't want one negative word today in practice. Everything is positive, positive, positive. Because, you know, we're in what we call – there's 5 weeks left in this league races, so you can't let your team get down on itself right now. So as a coaching staff, you're gonna learn from this, but you're not going to harp on it with your players.
I think the Saturday's game, yes, it's at home. Yes, it's Nebraska. But now coming off of what happened in West Lafayette last night, makes it a little bit more important to go out and not only win, but maybe even look good. You can't have a close game, I don't think, against Nebraska after last night.
I'll tell you what, Scott. A lot of Hawkeye fans are feeling bad about that, but I'll tell you who else is. Fred Hoiberg looked at that score and he said, uh-oh, I got to go to cover Hawkeye after that. As an opposing coach, you don't want to follow up on that one. So he's in the same boat as some of these Hawkeye fans that have the glass half empty right now. He does not want to go to cover Hawkeye after they get beat by 36 by Purdue. I've been there. You don't want to do that.
Good piece of news. You and I, big road win over Valparaiso. Valpo got its one of its top players back and still couldn't beat the Panthers at home. And now they have maintain a one-game lead over Southern Illinois in the league. Your thoughts there?
Well, Southern Illinois evidently be surprised in the league, but that game concerned me in Valparaiso, Mark, because that was that's a bit of a trap game because they're very athletic, this Valpo team. And now you got Drake coming into your place. Drake with a big win at Bradley. They'd stumbled a little bit. This is a Northern Iowa team, a big picture with them. They've got a net now of 39. They have two games that's going to really help them in seeding or getting that large bid when they go to Loyola and when they go to Indiana State. Those are going to be quad two games for the Panthers. So when you start looking at the metrics, that's a huge game. But they have to take care of the home court. Now, and I tell you what, Scott and Mark, every time I get ready to do a game, I have this Drake at you and I game. My producer wants to know, what matchups do you want to look at? It comes up every time. Fife versus whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Against Drake, it's Fife versus the 7-footer Liam Robbins with a double-double against Bradley. Next week I got in at Loyola, it's going to be Fife versus Crutwig. It was Pfeiffer versus Prim against Missouri State. Because we know what A.J. Green's going to do. And I know that they're going to get points out of Burhau, Haldeman, Brown's going to defend. But what can Fife do in that matchup in the middle? In a double-double last night by Austin Fife. I think he's a real key to this team.
Loyola lost last night. Now it's Southern Illinois, a game behind the Panthers. And, of course, SIU beat UNI down at Carbondale. Indiana State's in there. And then Drake beat Bradley last night to go to 6-5. And now Drake comes in for what's going to be a big-time atmosphere sellout at the McLeod coming up. You'll be there on Saturday. They're going to honor the Sweet 16 team. They got everything going on. All the cards are on the table for you and I on Saturday.
Yeah, it's bring back all the alumni, former players and coaches. I got people asking me for tickets, and I've tried every avenue I have at the McLeod Center, and there is not a ticket to be found. And talk about that Loyola game, guys. So I'm watching Iowa, and it's a blowout, so I flip to Loyola at Indiana State. Indiana State's beating them by 30. That was quite a performance by Greg Lansing's group, and that's another team coming on, the Indiana State Sycamores. They have not lost in the Holman Center at home this year. So, Iowa's got a couple good tests left. They've got to go to Loyola, and they've got to go to Indiana State.
I want to acknowledge a listener on the text line. Kevin had a question for you backing up to the Iowa game. I wanted us to ask you about the lack of an early timeout by Iowa to right the ship. And I think the texter is speaking to that 17-0 run that Purdue put together.
Well, if I was in Fran's shoes, yes, I would have called a timeout. I might have called two or three because I've always said it. You can't take them with you when it's over. So if the floodgates are open, you got to somehow get it stopped. And a lot of these coaches, I've seen them wait for that media timeout as a broadcaster. I've seen them wait for that media timeout. They're like, dude, call the timeout because it's going to be too late if you don't. The way Purdue was playing, guys, that wasn't going to make a difference. But if you're asking if I would call a timeout, yes, I would have, but 19 triples. I'm still looking at that at Purdue. This is a crazy Big Ten year, guys. I mean, Penn State goes in and wins at Michigan State. And if you look at Iowa, they still got a shot in this league because look what's coming up. Maryland's at Illinois. The two teams are tied for first on Friday. Michigan State's got to go to Michigan. There's a lot of things that happen above the Hawkeyes in this game that allows them to keep advancing or be near the top when this thing shakes out. But again, I'm concerned. Can they win on the road? They've got four games left. How many W's can they get with Indiana, Minnesota, Michigan State, Illinois coming up on the road?
Now you're talking about Michigan State going to Michigan. That's almost a must win now for the Wolverines. A loss there, they'd fall to 4-8. Yeah, their net is at mid-30s right now, but man alive, they're right now 12th in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and when you I listened to the post-game press conference from Tom Izzo after that loss to Penn State, and I mean, that guy looks like he needs to find another job. He was just completely wore out, fatigued. This team has really tested Tom Izzo.
Really has. Iowa State losing last night to West Virginia in Morgantown. Things just not looking good as far as the Cyclones are concerned at this point. 9-13 and 2-7 with Kansas State, who's also having a down year coming in for the weekend on Saturday night. But what do you do if you're Steve Prohm right now? Do you kind of look for different combinations? Do you? I don't know. It's tough when you're in the situation that they are in at the moment. What do you try to do to try to remedy it?
Well, he's done that. You know, he put Trey Jackson in the lineup, got 4 points on at West Virginia. I think if I'm Iowa State, looking at the big picture, can they get five more wins before they go to Kansas City? Can they get to 7-11 in the Big 12? Because I think that's pretty respectful for the way we've seen this team perform. Remember, they lost to Florida A&M. That was signs of problems to come. Hawks up and whacked them at Hilton. Can they get Kansas State? They got them at home. That will right the ship. But then they got Texas Tech. Those are teams that are fighting for NCAA bursts. TCU's a winnable game. Can they beat West Virginia at home? And can they sneak one out in the road? They got Kansas State in the road. Can they get five more wins?
They can still get, realistically, can still finish fourth in the Big 12.
It's over.
Good comment, Mark. I'm like, Scott, that glass is overflowing for you.
All right. Looking forward to Saturday, Kevin. That's going to be fun. I know you're looking forward to it, and we will talk next week, okay?
Yeah, I mean, the Golden Iowa team, they're putting together a pretty salty resume for a postseason bid should they not win the Missouri Valley Tournament.
Very much so. All right. Kevin, appreciate it. Have fun.
All right, guys.
Kevin Lehman, Off the Glass, our segment each Thursday. And it's brought to you by Coldwell Banker and real estate professional Chris Lehman, with over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction. Trust Chris if you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City and the surrounding areas, online at shootershomes.com. We'll take a break, come back, and take a look at what happened at Bowling Night in America. It was a lot better than what happened in West Lafayette. We'll do that when we come back.
The college basketball season is heating up, and that means we must turn our attention to the Wendy's Wooden Watch. The John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year Award is the most prestigious individual honor in college basketball, awarded to the country's most outstanding player who is also making progress towards earning a degree. Past winners include basketball legends such as Michael Jordan, Candace Parker, and Kevin Durant. So who will take home this year's trophy? The 2020 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year is presented by Wendy's.
Wendy's has been showing everyone how to do fast food right for 50 years. And now they're showing them how 2-for-5s are done with Wendy's 2-for-5. It's the only one where you can get Wendy's fresh, never frozen beef and that Wendy's spicy chicken you crave. Pick 2 for $5. Choose between the juicy Dave single, the tasty spicy chicken sandwich, 10-piece crispy, or spicy nuggets. Come in today and taste how a real 2-for-5 is done. Only at Wendy's. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Our new PXG Gen 3 irons are the best golf irons we've ever made by a long shot. Gen 3 irons deliver game-changing distance, outstanding accuracy, with a feel so soft, it's like spreading warm butter on a hot biscuit. Oh my! Gen 3 irons are sold only at PXG stores, PXG fitting studios, PXG.com, and at select custom fitters like Club Champion. To find out where to get your set, visit PXG.com or call 844-PLAY-PXG today.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Yeah, and we will talk about that in a moment. A couple more texts to get to on the First Federal Credit Union text line. 8721 weighing in. Michigan State loss 71-42. Iowa loss, write it off. And 1345, when do we discuss the college football recruiting classes from yesterday? Well, 95% of the folks signed in November in the early signing date.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa ended up with an Australian punter yesterday. You and I got four recruits in the late signing period. This is now the late signing period, and I'm not sure how much longer basically this is going to go.
Well, it's a pretty interesting backstory on Australian the way Australians approach punting and kicking. It's a big deal down there.
It is, and Iowa perhaps with an Australian punter for. Two straight years, we'll see. Rastetter is back for next year, and we'll see how it plays out. 3:58, we need to get to Bowling Night America. Wrap-up brought to you by May City Bowl and Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America.
Thanks for asking. Good night for the Rusty Nails in the Adult Evergreen League. Won 18 out of 30 points and moved into seventh place. The left-hand side of the 14-team standings, at least for now. Week 21 turned out pretty good, especially for Ryan Bundy. A perfect game, 300. Jeremy Klein, ever so close at 299, but he did have high series at 814. Our own Troy Beeler, the bowler.
D-Roy.
Beeler, the bowler. Troy with a 759 last night. Second high series in the league to carry, maybe not carry, but... bolster the Rusty Nails.
Did all right. Did all right last night against our friends from KBO Catering. Money on the line next week. It is position night. No buzz. You guys messed up, so we don't bowl against you guys. We have the Donners next week. Professional bowling concept, so looking forward to that.
Joe will be disappointed to know that I'm off. I'm not avoiding you. It's a scheduling quirk, but the rest of the Nails will be there.
I will be there. I'm on next week. All right. More information at May City?
Yep, 362-0136 is the phone number, the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
More on college basketball coming up next with the Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. NCAA basketball tonight on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, USC and Arizona. Talk to you tomorrow.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.